Our doctor is in, and so are the doctors of Capital Health. Welcome to the all-new Health 411. Every Sunday morning at 10, Dr. Jonathan Karp, along with our respected panel of guests from Capital Health, take you on an important medical journey to help you navigate your health and the healthcare system to reach your destination, good health. Health 411 is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.
107.7 The Bronc and 107.7 The Bronc. .com proudly nominated for 5 consecutive National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Awards for Best College Radio Station, as well as a winner of the 2023 IBS College Media Award for universities under 10,000 students. We are broadcasting from the Bronx All Digital Studios at Rider University in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Welcome to Health 411. I am your host, Professor Jonathan Karp. This Health 411 program is presented by Capital Health. In Health 411, we discuss a variety of issues affecting health and wellness, public health, healthcare policy, as well as the healthcare industry and the science of health and healthcare. Our goal is to expand your knowledge and your perspective. Today, Marina Jean Baptiste and I are joined in our studio by Alexandra Nelson, who's a divisional director of maternal child health services at Capital Health Medical Center. Welcome, Alexandra, to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
It is a pleasure to have you here. And I'd like to start off, for anybody listening has an idea of who our guest is. I'm going to bet you a nickel that when you were in college, you didn't say that you wanted to be a divisional director of child maternal health services. And so can you tell us a little bit about your background, starting, you know, on your educational journey and how you got to this role at Capital Health Medical Center?
Yeah, sure. So I always knew growing up I wanted to go into healthcare, but I can't say it was directed at nursing. I think, you know, a vet at some point was there, an anesthesiologist was there. And then I actually wasn't really sure what I wanted to do in college, but I did gymnastics my whole life. And I actually knew when I went to college, I wanted to be on a gymnastics team. So that sort of started my recruitment journey, was for collegiate gymnastics. And one of my recruiting trips was at the University of Pennsylvania, and I wasn't sure whether I wanted to do business or nursing, which seems very, very extreme. But I spoke to a nurse recruiter who said, I think you should do nursing first. You can always do business. And I kind of took her words of wisdom and got into the nursing program at the University of Pennsylvania. And they, you know, really do have a sort of a top-notch education. And fell in love with pediatrics while I was in college. My freshman year, I had an ear infection, and I was from Wisconsin. And so I went to school in Philadelphia, so I had no family nearby. And I went to student health, and they said, take Tylenol, you have an ear infection. And I felt very pushed aside. And so I walked across the street to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, went into the ear emergency room. And the care and compassion that they just showed for me, even though I was a young adult, really touched me and kind of created my path that I wanted to be a pediatric nurse when I was done with school. As I was going in my junior year of college, Penn offered something called submatriculation, where you could start a grad school program, use some credits for undergrad that you didn't necessarily have to pay extra for. And this is where they had a program called nursing administration. So that was sort of that business part of it. And so enrolled into their nursing administration background. And so I finished college. I got a job at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in their pediatric ICU, and took probably the first year to, you know, be a nurse, which I'm an adrenaline junkie. So working in an ICU was a really neat experience. And then at the same time, kind of started my master's part-time in nursing administration. And I can tell you, I am really, really glad that I did nursing and that working in a pediatric ICU made me a better person. And I definitely recognized my passion for not only dealing with patients, but also patients' families, and being able to help them through some really tough times. And there's a lot of families and patients that will, you know, hold a place in my heart for forever. I finished my master's degree and then knew that I loved what I did at the bedside, but my brain was always thinking, here are some ways that you can make a change. Here's a way that you could do a process to either make the patient experience better or the staff experience better. And so I wanted to go and get a management job. So at the time, I had only been a nurse probably for 3.5, 4 years. And CHOP didn't really have anything at that time for me in terms of a leadership role. So I winded up getting a job at Shriners Hospital for Children as a nurse manager of a little 5-bed PICU there. And it was a really great intro to leadership there. Had a small staff, the hospital's smaller, so got to lead committees. And it was a great intro to my first leadership job. And then I kind of wanted to like do something more. And I knew the chief nurse officer at the time at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. Her name was Victoria Rich. She was such a classy lady. Always talked about like as a nurse leader, you should have like pearls that you should wear around your neck and like, show that you're a professional in the hospital administration and kind of be proud of your role as a nurse. And she sort of said, I have this assistant nurse manager job on labor and delivery. Would you be interested? And again, like I said, pediatric nurse at heart, love babies. I don't know about adults.
You take over, leave them.
I always joke that you can feel bad for a kid at any point, right? There's just like this heart. I don't know, when adults talk back to you, it's harder to have the same sympathy as with a kid, and kids are super resilient. But I said, there's a baby. There's a baby in the end of this labor and delivery process. Sure. So started in this assistant nurse manager role there, and then the nurse manager left after 2 weeks. And one of these trial by fire, hey, you wanna step in the interim? Labor and delivery was very, very different than pediatrics, and was a specialty that it's hard to be a leader in if you don't have a background as a labor and
Oh,
delivery nurse.
so let me just ask you a question about what made it so different than working in the pediatric unit?
So I was very used to being on a unit where I knew what it was like to take care of a patient and a family, and I created an assignment that was sort of predictable in the sense of you knew how many
Yeah.
patients were there, you kind of knew how to define the acuity. Moving into a world where in maternity, a labor and delivery unit's like having 5 units in one. It's like an emergency room, it's a patient who's pregnant who you have no idea when that baby's going to come out. You have no idea if any minute there's going to be an emergency and they need to go to the OR. So you also need to have your own surgical team to staff it. There's a PACU, there's a recovery section from surgery. And so there's so many components to being a labor and delivery nurse, and it's so unpredictable.
Right, so it
It
sounds like you found the limits to your adrenaline junkiness. That
I
was
mean,
that was
it
a
was
little that was a
cool.
little too much craziness, or did you
It was a
embrace that?
lot. It was the first time where I can say, I've always been someone who said, like, I want a challenge, give me a challenge. And it definitely was the first time where I had to say, like, I think I might have grown a little too big for my britches too fast. Like, I appreciated the opportunity, but it was a lot. I went from managing about 15 people to managing about 100. And the leadership skills it takes at that level are very different. And so I enjoyed what I learned about the subspecialty about maternity. But I also knew I had a personal goal to get my doctorate, and I had just, it was too much. And so I winded up seeing a job opening at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for a clinical supervisor. It was kind of like an assistant nurse manager job on a pediatric oncology unit. And interviewed with the nurse manager there. And one of my biggest leadership lessons is like you have to like your boss. Like when they're interviewing you, the most important thing is to feel like you're going to be able to learn something from your boss. And I fell in love with the nurse manager of that unit. I knew she'd be able to teach me a lot. And so I started my DNP, my doctorate of nursing practice, went to work as a clinical supervisor there, was there for, I don't know, I want to say it's like 3 or 4 years, but I finished my doctorate, had a baby, came back from maternity leave, And then there winded up being this interim nurse manager opportunity on a neurology gen peds unit. And timing wise was right. And so I sort of went back to the role of a nurse manager on that unit, was there for 7 years. And I had, it was interesting, right? When I said that I was a nurse manager from 15 to 100, wow, that was a lot. But I had been able to see that the mentorship from that nurse manager that she had given me and the leadership growth that when I took this nurse manager job, I felt way, way, way more prepared.
Excellent. So I'm gonna cut you off, Alexandria, for just a second, because we're gonna take a break for our underwriting announcements. We're gonna come back and continue our conversation on Health 411. You're listening to 107.7 The Bronc and 1077TheBronc.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronc is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health. There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advanced Medicine.
107.7 The Bronc and 1077TheBronc.com. Welcome back to Health 411. We're continuing our conversation with Alexandria Nelson, the Divisional Director of Maternal Child Health Services at Capital Health Medical Center. In the last segment, Alexandria was telling us about her journey to the position she has now, the sort of the administrative position she has at Capital Health, starting out as an undergraduate, going to the PEDS unit, and several steps along the way. And Alexandra, you said sort of the word nurse leader several times in your description. What does that, is that a specific term in the world of nursing, or what do you mean by that?
So I think there, you know, if you look in the literature, there's definitely differences between leadership and management. So you can be a nurse leader without being in a formal position. So definitely want to make that statement. But I do consider myself in the various steps in my nursing leadership journey. So there's a lot of different roles. So nurse leader in general means someone who has taken action on what they're seeing to improve a process for them or their patients. And I have done it in a variety of ways, but by taking different roles within nursing administration. So I've been a nurse leader in different administrative roles kind of along my journey.
Cool. And it sounds like that you were lucky enough to have some positive role model mentors along the way.
100%, 100%. Yeah.
And so when did you come to Capital Health?
I came to Capital Health almost 2 years ago, so
okay.
Mid-May of 2022, and it was really the perfect job. I was looking for something that like took my nurse manager role, where I had been a manager of many, many people, and could bring it to something that was strategic, that I could take that and really learn how to mentor and grow other nurse leaders in a nurse manager way over a couple of departments. So
excellent. So what does the Divisional Director of Maternal and Child Health Services do? Like, what is that title? Like, I'm not in that world. What does that mean to the uninitiated?
Yeah, sure. So basically, it means that I supervise, well, when I came to Capital, it's five different departments. So I had the pediatric emergency room under me, lactation services, the neonatal intensive care unit, the mother baby unit, and labor and delivery. And then over the 2 years I've been here, I've sort of gotten some extra responsibilities where they call it sort of a service line director now. So I have both a role within the strategy and the growth of maternal child services for the health system as a whole, while I also sort of have operational responsibilities now over mother baby unit, labor and delivery, lactation, and the NICU.
Okay. Okay. That's another term that I'm not familiar with. Service line director. Like, what does mm-hmm. that, is that unique to nursing, or is that something new that I have to learn about in the world of medicine and healthcare?
Yeah. So it's definitely seen, I think it's had its waves. Probably in the 80s, I think, is when the service line model started coming across in healthcare. Okay. And the concept was, is that oftentimes, healthcare is delivered in a way that's very vertical, creating different silos. So the silos of sort of outpatient, inpatient, procedural, but oftentimes you want to shift that to be more of a horizontal approach. So they created these roles called service lines, where you're really trying to think of your healthcare continuum from the time that the patient enters that or could enter that to the time that they're sort of done with that service line. So for maternity, it could be, you know, at the time that a person's thinking about having a child, to the time that the person gets pregnant, to the time that they deliver, through the time that maybe they are receiving, you know, gynecologic care. And so there's a lot of different parts sort of in that continuum. But when you think of healthcare in your service line vertically, you're able to see the different, probably like the different parts of quality, access, patient experience very differently. And so they have these roles called service line directors that kind of acts as the consultant or the intermediary, bringing everybody together to really improve, you know, access, quality, safety, and patient experience through the continuum.
So is that role as a service line director different than a divisional director?
It is, yeah. So my title now is service line director.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
But when I came into Capital, you know, it was divisional director. Okay. And then in the summer had kind of gotten promoted to this service line director role.
Okay. I got that off a website somewhere.
No.
So I apologize. I thought that was,
it's okay.
Like, I got that
it's
off the
okay.
Capital list. So I apologize. I thought that was still your title. But good to know. And so I'm sorry for that. Because I would hope that somebody who oversees like multiple sort of units like you were describing has sort of the vision to see how they all fit together. And the idea would be to have not really patient, a customer or whatever what are they called in maternity? Because they're not really patients because they're not sick. What would they be?
I mean, they're patients, but a lot of the, you know, one of the terms that these days are called like birthing people.
Okay.
Trying to be really inclusive.
Okay, that's fair.
But you still have families, support people,
right.
You know, the maternity care impacts just a lot of people.
Right. So I would hope that somebody in that role can see how those multiple units would fit together. So a birthing person and their family could move seamlessly through the system. And I guess that's part of your role to sort of make sure that it happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think more importantly, being located in New Jersey, yeah. where there are already maternal and infant outcomes that, you know, the metrics have shown disparities in mm-hmm. the outcomes. It's important, I think, to have someone that is able to look at that and even target the population. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things I'm most proud of being at Capital is you can see the impact they're trying to have in the community. And this role actually allows me to connect more with community agencies, with the people living in the community of Trenton. And so it's been really rewarding.
Yeah. And so one of the big issues here in New Jersey has to do with, birth outcomes related to socioeconomic status and race and things like that. And so are you on the forefront of sort of Capital Health's efforts to try to address some of those things?
Yeah. You know, we definitely look at our data, and now it's something that the state is saying that you need to look at your data stratified by race and ethnicity, but we've actually been doing that now for over a year. And so we've been able to actually look at our data and our outcomes related to race earlier than sort of being mandated, you know, by the state to start tracking this. We definitely are trying to partner with community agencies very differently. I think we heard 2 years when I came in here, you know, sort of the end of the pandemic, and what we heard from community agencies within the area is that Capital Health, it's sort of in the pandemic, whether it wasn't that we weren't doing a ton, we've done stuff in the community all over the place, but they weren't sure necessarily what we were doing to be really integrated within maternity care within the community. And so they suggested this concept of a community baby shower. And I didn't even know what that was. And so they were able to tell me it's
Can you please
basically
explain what that
opportunity.
is?
Yeah, so you basically bring community agencies together, so like Children's Home Society, Children's Futures, anyone who wants to come. And you have people come from Capital Health. So example, there's a maternity table about, what to bring to the hospital. There's a lactation table that says, do you want to breastfeed? Here's like some suggestions of things you could do in advance, or here's what we provide at the hospital. You bring together speakers that can talk about things like, nutrition while in pregnancy or safe sleep practices, and you provide people a healthy meal. And we also kind of have them giveaways, like pamphlets to read, but also maybe, some diapers to take away. And they said really embed it in the community. And so we took their advice, and last, I think it was in July, June or July, the months go by, we had our first one at Thomas Edison State University, right on State Street in Trenton. And
Right next
we
to the
had
train
at least
station.
150 pregnant women who were there, and probably another 150 support people, or they brought their young kids with them. And so we're doing our second one actually April 27th. And so it really is bringing resources to the city of Trenton and inviting, pregnant people and their support people to come say, like, learn about Capital Health, what's offered maternity services. Let's connect you if you aren't connected and you're worried about how to feed your child or dress your child. And so it was a really heartwarming event last year.
Cool. Well, I want to hear more about that, but we're going to take a break for some underwriting announcements. We'll be right back with Health 411. You're listening to 107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health. There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
107.7 Bronc and 1077thebronc.com. Welcome back to the program, Health 411. We're continuing our conversation with the line director of Maternal Child Health Services at Capital Health. Did I get it right this time, Alexandra? And in the end of the last segment, Alexandra's been in the job now for a couple years, and she was describing some of the changes that she has made, at least in the outreach component of Capital Health and the community. And we hear about Saturday, April 27th, a community baby shower is going to take place. And so you gave us the date. Can you tell us where it is and a little bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. So it's at Thomas Edison State University, right on State Street in Trenton. And it's a beautiful building. And it starts at 11 a.m.
Cool.
And
Do people have to?
throughout, it goes from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And there will be about 24 tables of people that will want to be there. So from Capital Health, maternity saying, what to do when you're pregnant, what to bring to the hospital, lactation services. We have Children's Home Society is there, Children's Futures is there. We have tons and tons of people that are going to be present to provide information for whether you're thinking about being pregnant, you are pregnant, you just delivered, and then, a healthy meal, gift baskets and giveaways, speakers talking about, nutrition in pregnancy, lactation. It'll be a really, really nice event. And then we also have the Arm in Arm food truck that's going to be there. The WIC truck is going to be there. So there's just a lot of people within the Trenton community coming together to really support, maternity in Mercer County.
Do people have to pre-register? Is it free? Does it cost anything? How do you find out more?
Yeah, so it's free. There is a link, and I can definitely share it with you, and you can figure out how to share it, because it's not a link that's like, communitybabyshower.com.
Okay.
But yeah, we're asking people to pre-register, but we know sometimes, technology doesn't work, but if you show up 11 to 2 and you're pregnant, and or you just delivered, we welcome you. Please come learn about us.
Cool.
We'd
And
be happy to
I'm
have you
assuming
there.
rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
Okay. So who is the typical precipitant? Who is the typical birthing person? Is it somebody like Marina? Is it somebody, I don't know. Tell me about the key demographic that this is targeted to.
So I will say last year it was really surprising that there were about 95% of the people actually only spoke Spanish. And we learned last year we didn't have enough people there that spoke Spanish. We only have 5. We now have about 15 to 20 people that speak Spanish to help us. We also had people that spoke Haitian Creole. And then, but that was our experience last year. It's sort of hard to judge based off of the sign up of who's going to be there this year. But typically, it's people that are probably between 30 to 40 weeks pregnant, or have recently delivered and brought their newborn. But really, anybody is welcome.
Is it typical that it's somebody anticipating their first child or just had their first child, or do you figure this stuff out by the time you're on two or three or whatever number? Is there a magic number where you sort of figure it all
No,
out?
I think, when you, at least I can, speak from my experience, while you are a little more assured of yourself after having a baby, I gave birth in New Jersey and I had no idea how many resources are available. And I wish I would have known, anything from like a home visiting nurse that you're allowed to have in New Jersey that can come to your house. Like, I was terrified to leave the house, even after the second one. It was just a lot to put like two kids together. And so, while you may feel more confident about how you are as a parent, if you have ever been like, I wish I had more lactation support, I wish I knew what a doula was, this event really teaches you about many, many resources that are offered right in the state of New Jersey to you for free.
Oh, excellent. You bring up an interesting thing that I have to ask you about because because I think non-linearly. You brought up a doula. I'm going to ask you about midwives. How does that fit into the line of service at Capital Health? Do you have opinions about them? What's your two cents?
So I actually didn't, even while pregnant or even working at Hospital University of Pennsylvania, I didn't know what a doula was. I didn't really understand what the role of a doula was until I started to work at Capital Health.
So, can
And
you explain it for our audience? Because other people might not know either.
yeah, so a doula is a support person. So they have gone through a training program. I think there's a couple different training programs. Some of them are certified lactation consultants as well. Most of them have undergone CPR, but they also learn about techniques to help you, get through your labor process. So they help you create maybe a birthing plan that you would like to stick to while you deliver. They also will attend some of your prenatal visits. I think there is some races and ethnicities that find it really, really hard to trust healthcare providers and feel like having this doula is an extra support person for them that can help them advocate for themselves. But they're really there to be someone who can help be a support person through your pregnancy, through labor. They have their own tips and tricks about what helps you manage labor. I remember, again, when I was in labor, I know that my husband wanted to be really supportive next to me, but I like did not want him to touch me. And I think I would have loved to have a doula next to me who was like helping to coach me through it, because you do have staff and nurses, but they really aren't at your bedside the entire labor process. And this doula can be there for you your entire labor process. And it's just the safe person who's gotten to really know you through your pregnancy.
So it sounds like Capital Health welcomes a doula into the
We
maternity ward,
absolutely
birthing
welcome
rooms.
doulas. So we have Some procedures that we sort of say when you come, you can really only have, one person in the room during your delivery. You can have two support people that can alternate in and out. But the doula does not count as that. The doula is like an additional resource that you're allowed to have. Now, we don't employ doulas, but we partner with many community agencies. And they've, attended some of our orientations at Capital. They're familiar with our facilities, and we really do see them as part of our, the healthcare team when a woman comes in to deliver.
Excellent. And so how does that differentiate for somebody who might be a midwife?
So someone who's a midwife could be a doula if they pursued that additional training, but a midwife has the ability to function differently in different states. So a midwife is someone who's gone through specialized training. Could be a nurse, doesn't have to be, but it's a specific program in which they're licensed to be able to deliver babies. And so Capital Health does have their own midwives that are employed through Capital Health. And then there are also some midwives who choose to help deliver women who want to deliver in their homes. And we don't necessarily employ those midwives, but we do have a relationship with one of the groups that, if something goes wrong or they need to come into the hospital, that they come into Capital Health.
So if a soon to deliver pregnant, I can't say it has to be a woman, but person, a birther, is coming in. Does that is a one of the choices they get to make? Do you want a traditional like OBGYN, or would you prefer a midwife with you to deliver the baby? Is that a choice that soon to be parents get to make?
So yeah, it could be. So midwives traditionally, so you can choose, you can choose to make your appointment with a midwife or a physician.
Okay.
But I think in general, a midwife does have a scope of practice. And when a birthing person does become a bit more high risk, then the care has to be delivered under an OBGYN when they have some of these additional risk factors. But you can, any patient can choose that their sort of
Interesting.
entry into their care is done by a midwife.
Okay. Cool. Thank you for that. I'm learning stuff. I want to continue this conversation with Alexandra Nelson after we take a break for some quick underwriting announcements. You are listening to Health 411 on 107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health. There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com. Welcome back to Health 411. I'm Professor Jonathan Karp, and I am continuing our conversation with Alexandra Nelson, the Service Line Director of Maternal and Child Health Services at Capital Health Medical Center. And one of the things that I'm hearing, Alexandra, is Capital Health is making a conscious effort to reach out in the community and provide a lot of community resources for birthing parents. And can you tell us some more about those things?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have childbirth education classes that are offered both in person and by Zoom. We have lactation classes, lactation support groups that are offered. We have new parent support groups that we also offer. We offer prenatal exercise classes, and we do those in both English and Spanish. We're recognizing, a large part of our population is Hispanic and Spanish speaking only. And so we're really trying to deliver classes in the language that people prefer to hear them. And so really proud of sort of our ability to deliver these classes in Trenton now. We know that Hopewell currently doesn't have, a bus system that goes to us. And so we recognize that people often want to be able to use, like a public bus maybe to get to these classes. And so we partnered with Children's Home Society, where we offer some of our classes, and other sites. So we're excited to sort of be able to bring things and meet people where they're at.
And again, how would somebody find out about these things? The breadth of resources.
Yeah, so if you go on our Capital Health website and you look under the maternity services, you'll be able to see a direct link to sign up for all these classes. Excellent. And pretty soon, we're actually taping today a new maternity video, because we want anyone who's interested to actually be able to see pictures of what our NICU look like, what our labor and delivery rooms look like, what our mother baby like unit look like, what are all the resources that you have. Like, we have jacuzzi tubs. Like, when you are in labor, if you want to go sit in a jacuzzi tub, which is supposed to be really helpful for some labor pains, you have that option. So pretty soon we'll have a new maternity video up on our website for people to see too.
So are these classes exclusively for the birthing parent, or how about their partners? Are they welcome to these things too?
Yep, partners, support people. We know not everyone, has, someone that is doing their pregnancy with them. And so they can bring kind of whoever they want.
Cool. And again, they're all free. I just want to say that, confirm that.
So some of the classes are free and some of the classes do have a low cost. But if someone is struggling to pay, there's an email address. They can email us and, we'll find a way to work with them, because it's important that you feel supported. And just because you don't have the money to pay for it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have access.
Okay. Is any of this covered by prenatal care of insurance even if this costs are pretty low?
I'm not actually sure. And I feel like that's probably something. I know Children's Home Society, so we're doing a class there for, we're doing a class there. And I know they asked us to come in, and the class is going to be free to their clientele that's there. So I think sort of we'd have to explore what your insurance offers.
So if you're insured or not insured, even if there's an out-of-pocket cost, it's pretty low. We're talking,
$25.
Something like that. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
But not to assume that that's not a lot of money for people.
For some people,
honestly, we want people to have access. So email us. You can email us directly. That's the most important thing. We want you to get your education. Yeah,
cool. Among the many education things that are out there, this one of the things you mentioned is about lactation, right? Mm-hmm. Now, for a lot of parents, especially if it's your first child, the birthing parent has never lactated before. So mm-hmm. What kinds of things, what kind of issues, what's part of that educational experience for that parent? What's that like? Is it scary?
So, I mean, I think it's everyone's personal journey. I think I remember when I gave birth, and I won't say where I gave birth, it was not Capital Health, but I knew I wanted to try breastfeeding. But I think I was lucky to see somebody once, and it was like after 24 hours. We actually have coverage 7 days a week, almost 24/7. We have sometimes like three lactation consultants, especially in the middle of the day, to be able to see people. We actually have a lactation consultant that is just for our NICU moms, because those challenges are unique as well. And I don't know of any other organization that has sort of that amount of support for women that are in the hospital. And then we also have something called a warm line. So if people are having questions when they leave, they can call that line, leave a message, and we'll give them a call back. And then we have someone at our 433 Bellevue site. We have a lactation consultant who's actually built into that OBGYN practice that can see patients as well after they've left with their babies.
Cool. And the reason I ask is you can take a lactation class, but it's not really something you can study for. It's something you have to sort of let your body do, after birth.
Yeah. I mean, I think each woman has a unique journey, because I think we've had everything from people who have had breast cancer.
Good point.
Also want to find a way to potentially breastfeed. We've had people who have, maybe tried in the past and it wasn't successful. And then they've been able to say, I want to try again. Mm-hmm. And when they come, we're able to provide that support. And sometimes our lactation consultants can spend multiple hours with someone, because it's not the same for everyone. And mm-hmm. That's why, having this NICU lactation consultant, where their baby isn't physically breastfeeding, we're helping them establish their milk supply, you know, and they feel really good that they're still able to feed their baby.
Do you have any idea about our local community, knowing something about the proportion of women who try and are successful breastfeeding and will do it for, you know, weeks, months, years at a time versus people who don't want to or give up very quickly? Do you have an idea of what the local community is like? Or just the Capital Health people? I'm just curious.
You know, I could get you the data. I'm not sure in relation to everyone.
Yeah, I'm just curious, and if it's not at your fingertips, don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah, it's not at my fingertips, but I can tell you when we look at some of our benchmarks of people in the area, we're above the benchmark compared to the state of New Jersey.
And relative to that, you've been in the job now a couple of years. Is there something about our local community that surprises you that you've learned, either in a good way or a bad way?
I think people's openness to wanting to try breastfeeding. I remember my mom talking to me and being like, that's gross. But I do feel like people here are really open to trying. And it could have just be a shift in general, right, generationally over time. But I do love that people are open to trying here. And we've been able to establish, we actually have donor breast milk. So if you haven't been super successful in starting your own supply while you're in the hospital, you can actually get donor breast milk. You can even buy some to take home while you're waiting for your breast milk supply to come in a little bit more. And people want those options, which I think is really great. One thing I've been surprised at too is that TikTok has created some videos for people too on, you know, how to get some maybe like colostrum before, you know, they come in, and people seem more knowledgeable on what they want as part of their breastfeeding journey based off of TikTok videos that they're watching.
Interesting. So that's
now.
Not Capital Health sponsored or underwritten. It's just people
putting
it out into the community to see what happens.
Right. But we've had to adapt some of our procedures and educational materials to make sure that they have the most accurate information.
You might have TikTok. To intervene about inaccurate information. You know, just because you saw it in the TikTok video doesn't make it real or true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Can we talk a bit about Capital Health being baby friendly? Like, how does that differ from other hospitals?
Yeah, sure. So the concept about baby friendly is really creating an environment that allows for the birthing person and the baby to have the ultimate bonding experience and support when they're together. So the typical model of the past, at least I know that when my mom had me, was that you gave birth and there was a nursery. And so your baby kind of sat in the nursery until you sort of asked for them to come. A baby-friendly hospital promotes the concept of rooming in. So it means that the baby doesn't actually leave you. What being baby-friendly also does is that it says that we're not promoting formula. So many hospitals receive formula for free. At a baby-friendly hospital, we're not actually promoting either way, but we're giving people the different options. And so, you know, we actually have to buy our formula from the vendors. Like, we're not taking handouts from formula companies. And there's a bunch of other steps about baby friendly, meaning that, like, we're telling them about the benefits of breastfeeding starting in their prenatal period, providing the lactation support while they're here.
Cool. That's probably a good way to end the program. This is 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com. Thank you for listening to Health 411. This program is part of Capital Health and Rider University's efforts to bring people together to address careers and issues associated with all aspects of health and healthcare. I'd like to thank our guest, Alexandria Nelson, the Service Line Director of Maternal and Child Health Services at Capital Health. Thank you, Alexandria. This has been a fascinating conversation. If you have questions and or comments about this program or want to make suggestions for future broadcasts, please email us at health411@rider.edu.
Remember, you have a doctor's appointment scheduled for every Sunday at 10 a.m. Don't miss the all-new Health 411 with Dr. Jonathan Karp and our expert medical guest from Capital Health. You can listen to Health 411 anytime on demand. Go to 1077thebronx.com/health411 to listen to past episodes or tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. to hear the weekend rewind edition of Health 411. Health 411 on 1077 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.